Good morning. What a joy it is for me to be here at Flat Creek Baptist Church. I want you to know, church, it is my privilege to be with your pastor. Pastor Josh is one of my best friends in the world, and I love him and Kelsey, and certainly Sophie and Chloe are so precious to me. I want you to know this, church. You're blessed to have this wonderful, wonderful man of God as your pastor. I remember a few months ago getting to come over here on a Sunday night and preach. It's just a real privilege to be with you this morning. I thank Pastor Josh, and I thank you, Flat Creek, again for the opportunity to be here and be with your wonderful, wonderful staff and people. There's a message this morning that God's placed on my heart that I believe will be an encouragement to you. Our scripture reading is found in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. This is what the Bible says. It says, "And it came to pass." Now let me just say, that is great news. I'm grateful things don't come to stay, but they come to pass. And we're going through a situation right now, and we're going through a tough time. But I want you to know, it's going to come to pass because God is faithful. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew them not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed." Perhaps that's you. Perhaps that's you during this time, the coronavirus time. You'd say, "Pastor, I'm greatly distressed." Well, the Bible says David was greatly distressed. "For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Let us pray. God, as we bow our heads and our hearts in your presence, I simply pray and ask that this morning, the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, would be acceptable in your sight. I thank you for the privilege that Pastor Josh has given me. I thank you for this wonderful church, Flat Creek Baptist Church, and what a difference they're making here in this area. I ask you, God, that you would hide us in the cross of Calvary, that people would see Jesus. God, I ask you to speak to us and through us. I cannot. You never said I could. You can. You always said you would. And Lord, I pray for that man, woman, boy, or girl that's watching. I ask you to deal with their hearts, that today they would come to know you as personal Savior. And for all you do, we're going to bow our heads and we're going to give you all the honor. We're going to give you all the glory. For we pray all this in Jesus' wonderful name. Until you come, we pray. Amen. I want to take a few moments and I want to talk to you about encouraging yourself. Encouraging yourself. Now, I believe if there's ever been a time that people need encouragement, it's this day. And the Bible is very clear when it teaches us to encourage ourselves. One of my favorite stories that I love to tell is about a little boy that goes out in the yard and he takes his baseball bat and he takes a ball and he's talking to himself and he says, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." And he throws up the baseball and he swings and he misses. And he says, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." And he throws up the baseball and he swings and he misses. And then the third time, he says, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." And he throws up the baseball and he swings and he misses. And then he says, "Wow, I'm the greatest pitcher in the world." Well, he understood something. He understood the importance of encouraging himself. Now, I want you to know, folks, there are going to be times that you will need to encourage yourself. Now, let me give you the background of the story. David and his mighty men were at Gath. They were at Gath fighting the Philistines. But while they were gone, the Amalekites knew that David and his men were gone. So they came to their camp there at Ziklag. Not only did they come to the camp, but the Bible says they literally burn it to the ground. Not only did they burn it to the ground, but the Bible says they took the women and the children as slaves and left. So everything's burnt. They've taken the women and children slaves, and David and his men are down at Gath battling. Now the story says that David comes back, David and his men, and they notice everything has been destroyed. Everything has been burnt at the camp at Ziklag. But they start looking for their wives, and they start looking for their children, and they're not there. And the Bible literally says they wept till they couldn't cry anymore. Did you ever do that? You just wept till you couldn't cry anymore. I've often said that a mother is only as happy as her saddest child. Literally, your heart is torn out and you wept till you can't cry anymore. But what's interesting in the text, the Bible says that those men noticed that they no longer had their wives. They no longer had their children. And that's very personal. And the Bible says those men wanted to stone David. You're the leader, David. You took us down to Gath. While we was down at Gath, not only did we lose our material things, but we lost our families. And they wanted to stone him. This is what I believe. If you live long enough for the Lord, everything and everybody that you put your confidence in will disappoint you or fail you. If you live long enough for the Lord, I want you to know everything and everybody that you put your confidence in will disappoint you or fail you. Because God ultimately is going to allow that to happen. Because God wants to be your source. And God wants you to look to Him. Now at this very low time in David's life, the Bible says something. The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And you know, many of you watching right now, it's a low time in your life. You say, "Pastor, that's good advice. I need to follow David's example. And I just need to encourage myself in the Lord." But what do I have to encourage myself in? Let me give you some things to encourage yourself in. The first thing I just want to exhort you to encourage yourself in is encourage yourself in your salvation. Encourage yourself in your salvation. If you notice verse 6, the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord, but it doesn't stop there. It said he encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. See, David had a personal relationship with God. And what I want to get you to encourage yourself in, I want to get you to encourage yourself in the fact that you have a personal relationship with God, that you are a child of God. You know, the Bible tells us in Luke that Jesus sent the disciples out. He actually sent the disciples out. There were 70 of them, and he sent them out two by two. And they came back, and they were giving reports. And they said, "Lord, it's pretty neat. We're able to cast out demonic spirits. We're able to do exorcism in your name. And we're so happy about it." But the Lord, paraphrased a little bit, said, "Guys, that's good. But I want to tell you what you ought to be rejoicing over." He said in Luke 10 and 20, he said, "Guys, I want you to rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I want you to rejoice over the fact that you're saved. I want you to rejoice over your salvation." See, you've got to understand what salvation means. Salvation means that your past has been forgiven. Your past has been forgiven. Psalms 103, verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." I'm so grateful that anything you can remember, God can forget. I'm so grateful that God didn't come to rub your sins in. He came to rub them out. Because of salvation, ladies and gentlemen, your past has been forgiven. Not only is your past forgiven, but your present. Your present is so secure. You say, "What do you mean?" Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 13 and 5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Not only is your past forgiven, but you have a God that says no matter what. See, some of you are listening to me today, and somebody very special has walked out of your life. But I want you to know, God will never walk out of your life. You say, "Pastor, you don't understand. I've lost somebody very near and dear to me, and my heart goes out for you. But I'm grateful that God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. God will take care of every dimension of your life." See, your past is forgiven. Your present, it's secure. But I want you to know something else. Your future, it's settled. You say, "What, Pastor, with coronavirus, I certainly don't want to contract it." But I do know this. 2 Corinthians 5 and 8 says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And you're not really prepared. You're not really prepared to live until you're prepared to die. And I just want to say, if you've got something to encourage yourself in, you can encourage yourself in your salvation. Let me tell you a second thing. You can encourage yourself by speaking life. By speaking life. The Bible says in Proverbs 18 and 21, "Death and life is in the power of the tongue." death and life. See, folks, you can speak life to your situation, or you can speak death to your situation. What you say really matters. What somebody else says about you is important. But what you say about you is more important. The Bible says in Joel 3:10, let the weak say I'm weak. No. Let the weak say I am strong. If you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you'd like to win, but you think you can't, it's almost for certain you won't. Because life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man. But sooner or later, the man who wins is the man who thinks he can. I want to encourage you. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I just want to challenge you. Encourage yourself through speaking life. There was a little boy that was playing baseball. He was playing left field. And it was in the first inning. And they were losing 19-0. And somebody out by the fence yelled and said, Johnny, I'm so sorry. It's only the first inning and it's 19-0. And Johnny said, that's okay. We haven't batted yet. Whatever your situation, your words are powerful. And by the way, folks, we're going to make it. I've got a news flash for you. You're going to make it. We went through the fire and through the water, but the Lord brought us out, Psalm 66:12 says. And God's going to bring you through this situation. You say, Pastor, it's not good right now. But I'll tell you something. It's going to be good. You say, you can't say that, preacher. Yes, I can. Because Romans 8:28 says, and God worketh all things for our good. And this we know, that God worketh all things for our good. So, sir, ma'am, if it's not good for you right now, I want to promise you it will be good, because God's going to work all things for your good. So I want to encourage you to speak life. I believe that old David went up against a giant. And I just believe that when David went up against that giant, somebody probably yelled out and said, oh, David, he's so big he could hurt you. And I believe David yelled back and said, oh, no, he's so big I can't miss. I challenge you. Encourage yourself in your salvation, but encourage yourself in speaking life to your situation. There's power in what you say. You tell God. You tell God about your mountain. But I tell you what, the Bible says in Mark 11:23, you tell your mountain about your God. So you speak life. So how can I encourage myself? You encourage yourself in your salvation. You encourage yourself through speaking life. You encourage yourself through supplication. What I mean through supplication, I'm talking about just through prayer. Just through a humble prayer. Because when you take things to God in prayer and you realize the greatness of our God, I'll promise you it will build faith in your heart. It will build courage in your heart. You say, Pastor, does prayer always change circumstances? I don't know, but I do know this. Prayer always changes me. Prayer always changes me. And when I go to God, and I go to Him with a spirit of exaltation, it lifts faith in my heart. So you encourage yourself in your salvation. You encourage yourself in speaking life. You encourage yourself in supplication, going to God in prayer. But let me give you a fourth way. to encourage yourself. You encourage yourself in songs. You encourage yourself in songs. I've often been asked, Pastor Benny, do you sing? I sing good, but I sound bad. I actually sing baritone. When I sing, it's all you can do to bear the tone. You know, I'm not a singer, but I noticed something. There are 185 songs recorded in the Bible. 185. I mean, literally, the book of Psalms is 150 songs. Do you realize this? In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says that God sings. That he has joy over us. that God is so joyful over us that God sings. I don't know what it would be like. But this omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, sovereign God sings. God sings over us. I'll tell you something else. In Matthew chapter 26, when the Passover instituted into the Lord's Supper, after Jesus first celebrated it with his disciples, the Bible says they sang a hymn. They sang a hymn. Jesus, the Son of God, the Bible says he was a part of them. He sang a hymn. Where's the first song in the Bible at? It's in Exodus chapter 15. After Moses and the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, and you know, the Bible says they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, and then Pharaoh's army came and they were drowned in the Red Sea. This is what the Bible says in Exodus 15 and 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he drowned in the sea. Let me tell you something. There's just something about singing. There's just something about lifting our voices in praise that encourages us. There's just something about singing about the goodness of God. You know, I was studying the other day about a song that we actually just started singing not too long ago in our church. And I realized the man who wrote the song was a man by the name of Jonathan Helzer. Jonathan Helzer actually had a friend, and Jonathan got a call one night that his friend's little boy, Jackson, was very, very sick. He had the E. coli bacteria actually in his kidney. And he was in intensive care. And his friend said, Jonathan, I want you to, you and your wife, Jonathan's with Bethel Music, I want you and your wife to pray for Jackson. He's very, very sick. He's got E. coli, that bacteria, this precious little boy, he has it in his kidney. And so Jonathan said, one night I was home and I got a text. And he said, little Jackson is not going to live through the night. He's not going to live through the night. And he said, my wife and I went to our bedroom and we started to pray. And he said, it was like a giant of unbelief was standing in front of me. A giant of unbelief. And I said to my wife, I said, Jackson's not going to live through the night. Maybe it was like that individual in the Bible who said, I believe, but God help my unbelief. Jackson's not going to live through the night. But he said, we got down to pray. And he said, as we prayed, these words came to my heart and mind, and they later became a song. I will raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I will raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I will raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I will raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. Let me tell you something. This bacteria that was in that precious little boy, E. coli, in his kidney, God touched little Jackson. And you know what I believe? I believe that we ought to lift our hallelujah. I believe we ought to lift our praise to God. I believe God inhabits the praises of his people. And I believe we ought to just lift our praise to God, and we ought to trust God, and we ought to believe that God is going to touch this virus, and God is going to see us through, and God is going to take care of people. How can we encourage ourselves? I just challenge you. You just encourage yourself in your salvation. You encourage yourself through speaking life. You encourage yourself through supplication. You encourage yourself through songs. But let me give you one more. You encourage yourself through Scripture. You encourage yourself through Scripture. Thank God for the Scripture. You know, the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it talks about the encouragement of the Scriptures. The encouragement of the Scriptures. You know, D.L. Moody said a lady came to him on one occasion, and she said, "D.L. Moody, I found a scripture that's greatly helped me. It's in Psalms 56 and 3. This is what it says. What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee." And D.L. Moody said, "Sis, I've got one up on you." She said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, that scripture says, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee." But he said, "I've got one better than that. Isaiah 12 and 2 says, I will trust and not be afraid. I will trust and not be afraid." See, let me tell you something. Sometimes we say to ourselves, it's impossible. But you know what God says? God says all things are possible. Sometimes we say to ourselves, nobody loves me. But God says, I love you. Sometimes we say to ourselves, I can't go on. But God says, my grace is sufficient. Sometimes we say to ourselves, I can't figure all this out. But God says, I will direct your steps. Sometimes we say in times like these, I'm so afraid. But God says, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Sometimes I've said to myself, I'm not smart enough. But God says to me, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And sometimes I say to myself, I feel all alone. But God says to me, Benny, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Let me say to you, you can encourage yourself, but it all starts with salvation. It all starts with knowing Jesus Christ. What an honor to be here to preach for my precious friend Josh. Not long ago, I was preaching at a place, and somebody said to me, was your daddy a preacher? Was your grandfather a preacher? I said, if you'll let me finish signing a few books, I'll tell you my story. And I signed a few more books, and I said to that gentleman, my dad wasn't a preacher, My grandfather wasn't a preacher. I said, let me tell you the story. I said, my dad was a professional gambler that just spent a couple of nights with a woman, and I was conceived. But after he found out she was with child, he left. Didn't take his responsibility serious. And my mother birthed her second child. My mother went into a bad relationship for many, many years. I was actually raised by a stepfather who told me I was ignorant, told me I would never amount to anything in life. Now I remember eventually my mother left that relationship. And I was about 16 years of age. And we had lived in nightclubs, taverns, beer joints, sold whiskey illegally. You name it, we did it. And when I was 16, my mother went to bed. I came to her bedroom. I said, Mama, what's wrong? She said, Benny, just go on. Leave your mama alone. I didn't totally understand about a relationship that had gone real bad for Mama. And Mama decided that life wasn't worth living. She decided she wanted to end her life. She put a pistol in her pocketbook, got in a red Thunderbird, drove 30 miles to her first cousin's house because she wanted to end her life there so I wouldn't find her. She knocked on the door of that first cousin's house and said to her, can I spend the night with you? That first cousin that Mama had partied and caroused with, she said, you sure can. But I want you to know something. We're not the people that we used to be, because we've gone down to Temple Baptist Church. We've given our lives to Christ. More than anything, you need to give your life to Christ. And that very night, my mom gave her life to Christ. The place she was going to end her life, she found life. The next morning, my mother drove up in that red Thunderbird. And you may not believe this. Somebody said, you may not believe what Brother Benny believes, but after hearing him preach, you'll believe he believes what he believes. She pulled up in that red Thunderbird. She got out, and my mom looked different. And she walked up to me, and she said, Benny, I haven't raised you right. We shouldn't have lived the way we've lived. We shouldn't have lived in nightclubs and bars and lived such a life. But I want you to know, your mama got saved last night. Your mama gave her life to the Lord. And she said, more than anything, Benny, you need to give your life to the Lord. Mama started praying for me. She started saying, I don't want my boy to go to hell. I don't want my boy to go to hell. She just started praying. And night after night, she'd pray for me. And one night about midnight, I said, Mama, I can't take this anymore. I want to give my life to the Lord. She said, let's call the pastor. And she called Pastor Clayton Jones. He came to our home. He said, Benny, you got to pray. And I said, I don't know how to pray. And he took my hands and he led me in a sinner's prayer. And after we finished praying that prayer, all the guilt, all the condemnation was gone. That's why I so rejoice in salvation. I'm so grateful God thought it, Jesus brought it. The blood bought it, the Bible taught it, the Holy Spirit wrought it, the devil fought it, and I'm so grateful I caught it. But let me tell you something. That prayer that I prayed that night, decades ago, I want to encourage you to pray with me right now. Yes, right where you're at. You say, well, I'm on the lake, or I'm in my home, or I'm out in the yard. Well, I just want you to steal away right where you're at. Right where you're at. And I want you to pray this prayer right where you're at. Don't let anything hinder you from praying this prayer. Just bow your head and pray it with me. Let us pray. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. And I confess them to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord. Come into my life. And forgive me. Now thank you, God, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming into my life. Amen. Now listen to me closely. The greatest decision, the greatest prayer that you ever prayed. You just did it. But there's one other thing I want you to do. You're watching on a device. It's obvious you're watching on a computer, you're watching on a phone, iPad, you're watching on a device. From that device, not for us, not for Pastor Benny Tate, not for Pastor Josh, not for Flat Creek Baptist Church, but for you, I want you to respond. This is for you. Again, it's not for us. From that device, I want you to simply say four words. I prayed that prayer. That's it. I prayed that prayer. When you do that, there'll be a peace. There'll be an affirmation. There will be an assurance that will come over your heart and life. So right now, right where you're at, don't let anything hinder you. We're waiting on your response. Right now, I prayed that prayer. Congratulations. I'm so proud of the decision you made, and I want to thank you. I want to thank you for responding to us. I want to thank you for being with us today at Flat Creek Baptist Church. We love you. This church appreciates you, and we take great joy in being able to minister to you every week. I'd like to just pray for us as we conclude the service. Let us pray. God, as we bow our heads and our hearts in your presence, I thank you first and foremost for the people that have given their lives to you today and are going to be responding. Many of them already have, but some are going to be responding simply by saying, I prayed that prayer. I ask you, Lord, to keep people safe. I ask you to continue to bless the ministries of Flat Creek Baptist Church. I ask you, Jesus, to be with Pastor Josh, be with their staff, God. Lord, you've used them in a great way during this time. Their ministry has expanded. So I ask you to keep expanding the ministry of this wonderful church. Would you bless them indeed? Would you enlarge their coast? Would you keep your good hand upon them and keep them from evil? For we love you and we praise you, and we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.